Begin. Okay. Today, continuing in Melechus Mishul Shiur Chazara, Part 3, I'd like to discuss the definition or the purpose of Blech. Blech. So, we have in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, so the way to prevent the isser of the of Shemi Chata is either, as Man Chazal, they had coals. So either you rake away the coals, you push it to the side, you take it away, different Rishonim, or you put ashes on the coals. So that's called grufa, grufa to rake away, or ktuma to cover up. So the simple pshat that one would say, without looking into any great Ian, is to say that a blech is considered ktuma, right? Ktuma. Because ktuma, in the case of Chazal, or putting the ashes over the fire, and that's like a heker that you shouldn't be mechate b'kecholim. So we're doing the same thing with putting the blech over the fire. And that would be the simple. But does the Gemara ever speak about the Gemara? The case in the Gemara of Mishnah is putting ashes over the coals, covering up in another fashion, is not articulated in the Mishnah of the Gemara, but there is a Shulchan Aruch based on a Mordechai on page 2. Reish Nun Gimel Gimel. Hamashkin Baboker Rosh Hagdera Shekdicha Tafshilo. As you woke up in the morning, and all of a sudden you see that your meal, your lunch, is about to, you know, get burnt. So it was on the Kira overnight. But it's still savable. So what do? You're afraid it's gonna, you know, it's burn more. So Yozo Lahasir Ulhaniya Khedera Yeshana Rekonis Al pi hakira. So what you can do is you take a empty pot, which presumably means an inverted pot, and you take, in other words, this thing is on the kira, so it's right above the fire, so it's getting too hot. So take it off, and take a inverted pot, inverted tin. You put it on top, and that'll be good. So and explains the Magen Avraham Lamed Aleph to have a leg kira grufa ktuma. So that's like grufa ktuma. So this is the first source that we see that something, that you didn't mamash put ashes on the thing, you put something on top, not ashes on the, in the fire, on the fire, but you put something on top of the fire, and now you're taking it off and putting it back on. So the halacha is you're allowed to do so if it's still in your hand, and you daito l'hachzir, but it also needs grufa ketumah. So this pot makes it grufa ketumah. This pot is the blech, so to speak. And that's the Mordechai here. The source of this halacha is the Mordechai on page 3. Where it says, V'amashkin b'boker v'rosh yegdik tavshilo V'yari shem yegdik yosef Omer ani sheyochel lahasi ulaniach devrei kodis Al pi yegdik rav l'kira gufa k'tumah. So that is the, so that's the simple pshat where we get a concept of a blech. Meaning, because the chiddush of a blech is, maybe one could have said, as we'll see momentarily, that if you put, only if you put ashes, meaning the way some explain, as we'll see shortly, is you did something to the fire itself to, you know, call, you know, the fire itself, quench the fire itself, is that considered ketumah? But put something, maybe you need such a hecker that you're actually causing the fire to diminish as a result, as we'll see, as someone pointed out. But maybe putting something above, maybe that's not grufu ketumah. Maybe that's not called grufu ketumah. So the chiddush l'chora that we see in the Mordechai is this is also considered grufu ketumah. Okay. Well, now there is a another Gemara on page 4, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Ibayilhu mahu lismoch ba. Could you do smicha? And there's a question, what smicha means. In other words, when they had a kira, so they had like a box, and the fire was in the box, the wood, this stone box. And then, and you put the food on top. There's a hole, and you put it in the thing. So say you want to put something on the side, right? So, and the question is it talking about Shiach, HaChazar, or whatever it's talking about? Ma'u lismach. Tocha v'gaba osar v'u lismach b'ashari, b'ashapir dami, odil maloshna. So, Gaba, says Rashi, Ove Sfasa, Okisoi Sha'al Chalola. So, what does it mean, Gaba, on top? On top is, in other words, you have this box and there's a hole. So that's where you normally put the pot, in the hole. The hole's not big enough or else it will drop, fall down. But, you know, it's whole container. So you put it off to the side of the hole. That's gaba. Or what's another type of gaba? Kisui sha'al chalola. That's called gaba. So the question that the Chazon Ish raises is, according to Rashi, Gaba, one scenario of Gaba is kisoy sh'al chalala. So it means there's a kisoy, and you're putting on top of the kisoy. So why isn't that grufa ketumah? Why isn't that grufa ketumah? In other words, if you want to say, like we said in the Mordechai, that whenever you cover the fire or put something on top of the fire, that's already considered ketumah. So the kisui al chalala should also be considered ketumah. Right?
Well, it's not
Derech
Bishol.
What do you mean?
I mean, the kisoy, that's one of the normal ways you cook, maybe, is with the kisoy al gabab. I don't know. I don't really know the ovens, but if there's kisoy al gabab, maybe that's a normal way to cook.
Yeah, but maybe not. I mean, usually you would think. It could be, you'll be right in the end, but we're not, you know. But just for argument's sake, I'll take you to, you know, I'll play devil's advocate here a little bit. Pashtus is the way they cooked, because they put it in the, it wasn't a kisui, right? You're going to get a kisui, why are you cooking with a kisui, right? Let's assume like that for a second, for the sake of the kasha.
Kisui is like what you put on top of
the. So Chazon Ish says, don't you see from here that kisui is not good enough? Just because you did a kisui, that doesn't make it. So that's the Chazon Ish shita. The Chazon Ish shita is based on this Rashi that a blech is not gufo ketumah. So basically, according to the Chazon Ish, a blech is useless because it's ketuba. It's not ketuba because Rashi says that that's al gabo. That's not considered. You see, it's not considered.
What did he do? He put ashes.
We'll see. Oh, so now the Chazon Ish is going to have to answer back. So then, what's pshat in the Mordechai? But the Mordechai seems to say the pot is good. Right? In other words, he has a Rashi that he wants to say that a blech doesn't count, because or else it wouldn't be considered. In other words, you can say al-gaba, meaning it's still a problem. Al-gaba is it's a problem. If you have a blech, it wouldn't be a problem. Right? So al-gaba is a problem. We want to know smich is okay, but al-gaba is a problem. So he says a blech is a problem. But don't you see from the din of the... So what's different in the case of the Mordechai when you put the inverted pot?
Mordechai is also a Rishon.
What?
Mordechai is also a Rishon.
Right. So is he arguing? You want to say maybe he's arguing with Rashi. Maybe the Hanami. It's the Machlokes is Rashi and the Mordechai. That's what Mike wants to say, maybe. So let's see the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish Mordek. You know, he says Chidushim. Very deep. It was Chazon Ish is a lot of some Sfarim you can take in bed and read. You know, Chazon Ish, you can't read one line of the Chazon Ish and line back. Every line of the Chazon Ish is like a deep idea that you have to, you know, concentrate greatly. So let's see what he says. The Mishnah Brura Sif Kotan Pei Aleph Dan Benosin Al Gabi Tana B'Shabbos V'Tanuri Didon Shepischon Min Atzad V'Kosim Shem Amogen Avram Lidmos Lahadis Sif Gimel Benosin G'deiri Kodes Lafzik Ben G'deiri Zatavshil Lebein Kiriv Evi Divrei Maril Yitzarech Hefzich Acher. Okay, V'nei B'Tur Kosov Da Al Gaba Mikri Al Sfaso Al Kishish Al Chalolo. The Tur says what Rashi said. Who Loshon Rashi Hefsek kedei reikonis nira dehu shinui she'ein derech bishul b'kach v'gam emayit es achom harbe. He says that the reason why Aval kisa shadaku b'chaf v'yinu ma'ayin t'achom kol kachu b'chal al gaba. Kol shekein d'dov v'natarno atzma l'ocho shuv hefstev l'ocho shuv somich der. Yeah, so he says that then he writes with a line. Avagav that goes Mordechai nokat loshen gor v'kotum eina ela smach ba'alma v'ikro d'choshev k'somich v'odich misomich. So he says like this, that smicha maybe is mutter. That's a question. But algaba is not mutter. So why is a pot? He says smicha usually means to the side. But if you have the way that one of the well, Levon explains. If you have an inverted tin on top, and it's not derech bishul b'kach, because you don't cook that way, and it's mema'it the chom significantly, so that's mutter midin smicha. Even though smicha usually means to the side, that's also smicha. Because who cooks by putting something to the side? And put it aside, the heat is significantly less. And it's not derech bishul b'kach. If you put something on the blech, so maybe people usually don't cook that way, but it's not significant, diminishing the heat in a significant way. So therefore, that's considered what? Algaba. That's not even grufa ketumah. So basically, the Chazon Ish holds a blech doesn't do you anything. Doesn't accomplish anything. So what's pshat? So someone will explain, and the Sefer Olavon explains, that the Chazon Ish may learn that grufa ketuma, you need to be what? To mema'it the ish. So if you mema'it the ish, that's a heker. You won't come to be mechata. So you put the ashes on the ish. But just to put something on top. So if you put a pot, inverted pot on top, like the case of the Mordechai, so then it's still not grufa ketuma because you weren't mema'it the ish. But lemaisa, it's significantly less heat. And it's ein derech bishul b'kach, so that has the same halachic status like smicha, and maybe even better than smicha. He says
smicha was putting it near the fire.
Smicha was putting it on the side, outside the box. So and therefore, to put it on this inverted tin, you can't take it from the fridge and put it there. But if it's still in your hand, and you like the case in the Mordechai was. He woke up in the morning, he saw his food is about to get burnt, so he picks it up, he takes the inverted pot, puts it on the top of the kira, and puts the food on top of that.
The Rama said you could even put it on the floor, right?
Okay, we'll have a separate shiur of what's called Oda Biyado, what's the Gedarim of Oda Biyado. So that's what. So this is a whole. Now this is not the simple. The Magen Avraham, as they point out, didn't say that. Magen Avraham said it's, and the Mordechai itself uses the word garf kodem. So Chazon Ish says he doesn't mean fahagos man nachal loshen garf kodem. Ain't all the smach ba'alma. He doesn't really mean it's garf kodem. It's just another way of saying it's mutter, but it's not really the heter of grufa ketuma. It's really midin smicha, because garufu katum, either you have to rake away the coals, or you have to put ashes on the coals. So that's the That's the Chazon Ish. And if you want to see a little bit, on page 12, where he explains that what I told you is from what he says here on page 12. So why isn't it Grufa Ktuma? It's machlokas whether you have to totally rake away it or you just push it to the side. Svil Chazanish, the Gedere Konis, Lochosh Nechshav Grufa, came in Sof Kol Sof Kol Gicholim, Nimtsoim Mitachas Agedera. Gam lochashiv kotum came in diktim who maisa kilkul begufa esh. That's what I'm saying over. It's from the Shvus Yitzchak. Shvus Yitzchak was a fellow Rav Drezi. He was a Talmud of Rav Yashiv of Drezi. He has a number of svarim. These little blue svarim. Ever seen them? Which ain't can they reconnais ain't also shum maisa kilkul begufa esh.
Who's the Or Levana?
Or Levana is a fellow who's in Mexico. Wrote this, or Yeshua Chelo, he's in Mexico, and he wrote this these two volumes on in Yoni Bishul, which happened to be very good. He's in Mexico. Okay. I'll call you back. I'm in the middle of a shiur, okay? Okay, so that's how he quotes that the Rav Nissen Karelitz had another pshat in the Chazon Ish. In other words, the Chazon Ish is saying that it's not a din grufa ktuma. So he's saying, why not? So he gives this pshat because you need kukla. So here on page 13, he says, Ula matzinu in the Or Levana, Beer shonem havana shita sachazni shkuma shkosub chutshoni. Chutshoni is Rav Nissen Karelitz. Page 14. The Sfilei chazanish de kisoi pach nechshav darko levashal bo. So what does it mean? Well, people don't do that. Ela kavon he decave in the dark of the shamish lo to elis pizur achom the shetach yosegol she'inu rotsu lahavir ishim harbe v'shamish lizuzeh came in she'inu yochel chabas ha'esh v'shem hachi lo mahani lehecker. In other words, he says that people sometimes will use it if they want to only keep on one fire. They'll put something on top, and this way it'll spread the heat throughout the rest of the area. So that's cool. So theoretically, that could be used. That could be darko bekach, even though you usually don't do it that way. But since cave the darko l'shamish l'toel is pizur achom. The other pshat is easier for me. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is the other side. He gives credibility to the blech. So he has to deal with the Chazon Ish's question. Okay. Page 7 is a tshuva written to Rabbi Yamin Zucker. He's a Rebbe in MTJ. I think he's still there. He's an older man. like in the 80s or something like that. It was like a second grade Rebbe or third grade Rebbe, something like that, in MTJ in the Lower East Side. And the tshuva was written to him in Adar Sheni Tavshin Yud Aleph. It's a couple of years ago. We're holding by Ayin Vav, so it's 65 years ago.
So he's still the Rebbe.
Okay. So he discusses this. So look in the second arrow, Hinei. Hinei, on Mokom Loimer, the Masha Pirish Rashi, Al Gaba, Badav Lamadzai, Shugam Al Kiso, Shal Chalala. In other words, Ramosha holds that a Blech is Gruf Ktuma. So you want to say, no, maybe that's Rashi Lishitoso. Mishum, the Ozil Tamedi, Mosif Hevel Osir. In other words, there's a Rashi. Take a look on page 1. Actually, Igrof says Rashi Gecholim Mishum the Mosif Hevel. Right, the way Rav Shecht, I believe, explained it once is whenever you put a pot on the coals, so it's mostly Hevel, it's a type of Hatmona. Like I think Rav Shecht explained it that way. Even though it's not totally. So anything that's Mosif Hevel from the bottom, so that's a Shaila of Hatmana, even though it's not totally, you know, Hatmana usually means it's totally engulfed. So Rashi's saying, the way Rav Shecht explained it, I believe, is that it's touching the Gecholim, the pot is touching the Gecholim, that's called Mosif Hevel, it's a Shail of Hatmana. So Mimela, if you put Hefsek, then you accomplish, Rav Shecht pointed out, then you accomplish and it's not touching the coals, and therefore it's good. So maybe only Rashi Lishitoso holds that there's when something is not mavhine hayamokum lomen mash perashu algabo shu algabo kisu shkhalo hu mishum the ozil tamedi mosif hevel oser the pish does of rambashi tosel hem kisu shkhalo shu mosif hevel kaimen shene ge khalom ktumim oser. Whereas, so you want to say the Rashi sheet is if it's Mosif Hevel from the bottom, it's going to be Usur. So therefore Kisui is still Mosif Hevel. So it's going to be Usur. But according to Rav Poskim, even Mosif Hevel is Mutter as long as you have a Heker. So maybe even if it's not touching the Gecholim, but as long as it's Mosif Hevel from the bottom, there's going to be an Isser, like Rav Shechta said, like a Hatmona type of issue or something like that. So Mela, Rashi Lishitoso will hold that the Kisa is not help. But anyone else who doesn't hold from this idea of Mosif Hevel from the bottom being an issue, so we'll say that will be okay. So that's what he says originally. But Rav Moshe is honest. And Rav Moshe says that it's a good shot, but it's not going to work because the tour, we saw the Chazanish quoted that the tour says the same thing about Kisui Al Gaba, right? And he doesn't hold from that halach of Rashi, so you see that it's not taller than that because the tour holds the tour holds that it's Al Gaba even if it's even if there's a kisui, but he doesn't hold from the schumra of Mosif Hevel from the bottom. So he says, look on page 8. Achikshel Zeshatur Sova Gramkin Deloka Rashi. So he doesn't hold from the Rashi of Mosif Hevel. Umikol Mogam Sova Shal also be Kisui Shal Gaba Karashi. So Rav Moshe is honest. So he says, in other words, it might work for Rashi, but it's not the Pashup shot because it doesn't work in the tour, and the tour holds like the Rashi, so he doesn't think it's such a great shot. So he says, "Lachain tzarich lomar." So now Rav Moshe is going to give his pshat to answer, to save the integrity of the blech. Okay. So now he's gonna he's going to save the integrity of the blech, Rav Moshe. See, it's not like today. If the fire is too big, what do? You turn the knob, right? But today, in those days, what do you have? You had wood. So if the fire is too big, what do? You take a piece away. It's not so easy to just take a piece. You got to put your hand in the fire, you know. So what do you do? You close the hole. So that was very common, to close the hole. So therefore that was derech b'kach. So that's why it was over there the covering doesn't count as a kisui. Because they always covered the hole. But for us, that we normally don't, then the blech is good. So that's Reb Moshe's yishuv to come out against the Chazon Ish's chumrah. He says, "Chen tzarich lomim mishum the hasim derech habishul ka harbei pa'amim." The ma'esh gadol, if the fire is big, v'yarish yagdiach shebe'etzim kasha lo tzamtzim. Tikam harbei pa'amim she'esh katan lo yidlok. In other words, you can't say, "Oh, so I'll make a small fire because it won't get off the ground." Umuchen lasas esh gadol. But in our stone, you need, anyone during the week would ever put a blech on and then cook? No one would do that. So then the blech is a heker. It's only Bezman Chazal wasn't a heker. Because they had a deal with a big fire from the wood, so the natural thing, even during the week, was to cover it. That's what he says. And then he says the next part of the tshuva we did already about where he wants to make a distinction between, you know, grufa shem yichat is only if you, the things are there and you're, but the switching of the knob is bringing something mibachutz that was not part of the gzeirah. Then Rav Moshe, we'll have more about this. So Rav Moshe, basically, his shita is that putting a blech is considered grufa ketumah. So therefore, you can't take something from the fridge of Shabbos morning because grufa ketumah is not good enough. You need odeh biyodeh daitolachzer, right? So it's not odeh biyodeh the whole night. But if you take it off, you can put it back. According to the Chazon Ish, the blech is nothing. You can't even, if you took it off, you can't even put it back on because it's not even considered grufa ketumah. And then, like Rabbi Meir Tversky pointed out once, it seems to be three shitas because you have the Chazon Ish, that's nothing, Rav Moshe's grufa ketumah, and like Rabbi Meir Tversky pointed out, the three shitas, the Hainu, the Rav Avad Yosef from last week, that Rav Avad Yosef holds that you can even take from the fridge a Dover Yovish and put it on the blech on chops, so it's considered like Kedera al Gavah Kedera. It's ain derech. The Rav Moshe is saying it's ain darka b'kach, and therefore it's considered a heker. That's enough to be considered a heker, but it's not enough according to Rav Moshe to take from the fridge. You know, dover lach for sure not because it's shaylo bishul achar bishul. But even a dover yavish, you can't take from the fridge and put it on the blech. According to Rav Avad Yosef, we saw last week that the blech is a step even better, because since no one cooks there, so it's not only it's a heker, but it's considered like a keder al gabi keder. So those are, as Rabbi Tversky pointed out, those are, you have three extreme, you know, the two extremes in the middle. You have the Chazon Ish saying it's a nothing. You have Rav Avadya Yosef saying it's everything. You can even put it from the fridge. And Rav Moshe says no. There's the middle sheet that you can't put it from the fridge, but if you take it off, you can put it back if you're still in your hand. Whereas according to Chazon Ish, once you took it off, that's considered a Ish Begula. Didn't accomplish it. Now the other discussion, we're not going to have the full discussion today, we'll have in the future, is, so what do you cover Bizman Hazeh? Should you cover those, let's assume like Rav Moshe, that not like the Chazon Ish, that it's at least considered Grufa Ketuma. So do you have to cover the knobs, the fire, both? So one could say, we'll see, there's some postgame, I think the Deborah Cena was very into this, that the Iker covering should be on the knobs, because the Shem Ichata, but that didn't become the most makubal psak, even though it makes a lot of sense that Bezman Hazeh, that should be the, no one's putting their fingers in the fire, so that should be the, so Rav Moshe says that no. Take a look on page 8. The Fize, page 8. Af below kisoy gam al kaftorim shal yodem maktinu magdilin el yichase rak es ha'esh levad nami efshar yesh lahatir. The Gabi Kisel Aish Levad who Heker Godel. She Dagdachto Hagdil Aish Yosef. Moshe Nogim Harbe. He says, Mikradin, you don't have to cover the knobs. This is that's the Heker. Ach Yosef Tosha Kisel Pahavad Kazagam of Kavtorin. She is a Heker Yagam of Mokamachitur. No, I caught him. But Mikradin, he holds that you need a Heker. As long as there's a Heker on the fire, that's good enough. And we'll see, there are some poskim that are more machmer in that. That would say that, in other words, Rav Moshe's sheet is Ein Lanu what Chazal had the heker on the fire. Now you could say very well, Chazal had the heker on the fire because that was the chitoy was there. But today you could say that the chitoy is by turning the knobs, then the heker should dafka be over there. And for care, we'll see. I think the Deborah Tzina, we'll see, says that maybe Mizman Hazeh, if you don't cover the knobs, maybe you missed out on the whole point. So that's. But others, Rabbi Tzion Abashol, I'm a big Rabbi Tzion Abashol fan. On page 16, the Orla Tzion. He's another Sephardic Gadol. I like to say for Orla Tzion. I feel his tshuvas are to the point. You know, says it as is. So look at the bottom. He says, "Pasher shekol shakisa aish harei nechshev es ketuma, vein tzarich lasas od ma'isa kedei limnoa chashash shel chitoy." They should kvar also heker bekisoy. While kolponim ein this topic basor sakaftorim. In other words, he says, don't think you could just take away the knob. Mishum shalom tzid bechazal ofonim limnoa chashash shem yichate el rak al yedei grufu ketuma. Well, you could say, why don't you make a sign? Why don't you, you know, the Chazal made their ways of doing a heker, and you gotta do the way they did it. And we can't make new. Ein lanu l'chadesh hayom afanu chadoshim l'mnoa chashash chitun. I mean, one could maybe argue with that. Maybe saying we're not being mechadesh. We're just this is just the yisod. There's a sefer you should know about, Menuchas Ava. If you don't know about it now you'll know about it. Page 18. Who wrote the Menuchas? Moshe Levy? You heard of him? Menuchas Levy was a Talmud in the yeshiva Kisei Rachamim, Rav Mazuz's yeshiva in Bnei Brak. And he wrote Sifrei Halacha on Tshuvas, Tefillah Moshe, Ribbis, Brachas, and Shabbos, Menuchas Ava and Shabbos. And he was known to be the up-and-coming Gadol Hador in the Sephardic community. And unfortunately, he passed away in like his 30s. And so all this he wrote when he was a young person, and you know, he passed away as a young man. So he discusses this Chazanish as well. Starts on page 18, Omnam Hagon Mofitz Hador Shlofanenu Chazanish, and he argues with it on page 19. So he says that you don't need a lot of ashes, just a token, you know. So he says, oh, you see, so the simple problem with the Shavuos Yitzchak will say back is no, is that once you do a little bit, then you did a heker beguf ha'esh. So the Chazon Ish only said that you need, to respond to his taina. His taina was, what do you mean you need memayit harbe? But by ketuma, it's not memayit harbe, it's just a couple of ashes. So he says, no, that's to make it ketuma. Memayit harbe, the way the Shavuos Yitzchak was explaining, that's to do a din of smicha. That's to give it a din of smicha. So it's in a chanami, but once you have a heker in the guf of fire, they're not. But that could be good enough. But in the blach, you don't have a heker in the guf of fire. You need this might harbe to give you din smicha. But Rav Abadi Shlita, he holds that you need to smite the home. That's why Rav Abadi Shita is that if you take the cholent out of the crock pot on Friday night, you can't put it back, even if you're holding on. Because he holds that what did people put in the tinfoil like to be a groovy? He says that doesn't help, that doesn't do anything. That's not smite the home, and you don't accomplish anything. But he has a kula to offset this chumra. And his kula is that he's not choshish for the kolbo. The kolbo sheet is that if something's on the heat source, on the fire, you can't dish out, even if it's mavushal kol tzarko. So therefore, that's why people who want to eat shul on Friday night will take it out. Most people will take it out of the thing, dish out.
While they're holding it?
Yeah.
How do you do that? How many hands do you have?
well, you'll hold it, whatever. Or someone else will hold on to it, and you'll dish out, and you put it back in.
They can do that even though there's no blood.
No, that they put a thing. Our body holds that does nothing. The aluminum foil does nothing, but he holds you can dish out if it's fully cooked. You can dish out when it's in. So the best thing, like Rabbi Rosenblatt once says, is to keep the children from Shabbos day. That's what Rabbi Rosenblatt once said, and therefore, Lamaisa, then you'll fulfill everything. Then you'll take it out, and you'll serve, and then you won't put it back in for the rest of Shabbos, and that'll be.
What if you have the crock pot on a timer, and the timer turns it off before you dish it out? Is it considered then?
No, then that would be okay.
You can dish it out from the crock pot.
Yeah, then you can dish it out. Yeah, if you have a timer that it shuts off.
What if it goes back? Can you have it go back on? Can the timer have it shut off and then go back on? No.
For what?
Meaning you have it shut off for like...
You mean for Friday night?
Yeah, for Friday night it goes off between the hours of 10 and midnight.
I mean, it's fully cooked.
Fully cooked, so it goes off between 10 and midnight, so if you want to have more, and then it goes back on.
Yeah.
That's mutter.
Yeah, if you hold, you know, for those that hold Shabbos clocks or mutter, which became the minhag, so...
Oh, because it's already cooked.
That's Shehiyah. That's Shehiyah on Shabbos. Why is that mutter?
Because some hold that if you, if you don't do any maisa, then there's no issa. See, Chazanish holds, like what you said, that if it goes off, so even though you're not doing anything, but then it goes back on, so it's like you're putting it back on the... But that's like Chazanish holds. But Rav Bali holds like the Shita that you have to do a maisa. If you don't do a maisa, then you're not... Rav Shachta holds like the Chazanish that for this din derabbanan, it's even without a maisa. But Rav Bali holds Mikra din. If there's no... If you're not doing a maisa, so... like Chazanish holds if you put it back on something, back on the fire, and it was turned off, and then by a Shabbos clock turned on, that would be awesome. Even though the maisa, when you put it on, nothing, no heat source was there. It came late. So Chazanish, the way Rav Shachter explained, holds that it's awesome anyway, like you said.
So in the case of a power outage, in the summer there's a big thunderstorm and the power goes out, then everyone, according to the Chazanish, no one would be able to use their cholent during the day.
Right. Then it would be a problem of that there was hachzara.
But we can be somech on...
Yeah, you can be somech if that case happens, then it could be what to be so if it's fully cooked, right? Hmm. Okay, so this is a fascinating machlokas of the Shitas Chazanish and how we learned the Gemara. Chazanish was a very big machadish. He was very clear in everything he said, you know, very confident. The biggest psak was his international dateline. He took on the world. And he told everyone, Ichlu Bervi, Yom Kippur, Tsumu Chamishi.
Didn't he hold that it was Vidas Rav Rishonim?
That's what he held. But other Rabbanim, most Rabbanim held differently. So everyone was, in other words, that year, Yom Kippur was on Wednesday. But Chazanish held that in Japan, it was the dateline Shaila, that for them it's on Thursday. So he said, eat on Wednesday and fast on Thursday. So they asked the Chazanish, but maybe we should at least eat pochas, because according to other shitas, it's Yom Kippur. So he says, no, it's a mitzvah of Achila, Erev Yom Kippur. They say Professor Brown wrote a doctorate or whatever on the Chazanish. He said that was his first public stance. Chazanish was not a public person. You know, the Chazanish, Rav Mordechai Kohn and Rav Goldberg Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva Karbi Yavne, knew the Chazanish. The Chazanish had stage fright. Though in the Rebbetzin Kanievsky article, Berg had said at Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Chasana, that's his nephew, he's told, don't give me any kibbutim. No kibbutim. You think he would be Masada Kedushin or something? No kibbutim. Rav Reuven Katz was the Masada Kedushin, the Lomsha Rosh Hashiva, whose son, Rav Michal Katz, was Rosh Hashiva in YU for men like 40, 50 years. He was the Lomsha Rosh Hashiva, Rav Reuven Katz. He was the Masada Kedushin for Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Chazanish never spoke, they say, publicly or anything like that. He was a private person. I mean, a Talmud of Chazanish, when you went to his house and he spoke to you and learned. He didn't give shiurim or things like that.
How did he make a parnasa?
I don't know exactly how it worked. I don't know exactly how the parnasa worked.
Did he live with his in-laws at the
time? Yeah, I mean, Chazanish... Chazanish was a Chazanish. He was a unique person. Okay, Chuso Yogi and Aleinu.